the people at camp. We pray for their safe return. Father, we do pray that you would teach us now from your word as we study it. Help us to understand it, apply it to our lives. Father, I just thank you for your word and what it means to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, about a year ago, yes. Okay. Chair, just in case. About a year ago, we prayed about what we would study in the evening Bible study on Sunday nights. And we prayed and we prayed and finally decided on the book of Revelation. And the first thing everybody told me was, that's a hard book. I said, nah, it won't be that hard. Well, you know, normally when I do a study, what I do is I read the passage, I figure out what it means, and then I figure out how it applies to my life. And then I go into a commentary and read about what they say it means so that I make sure that I'm at least on the right track. But this time, I looked at the commentaries and they were all different. How can you tell what it means when nobody agrees on what it means? So I was kind of worried, but I thought, well, okay, let's get a study book and we'll go through the study book. And as we were going through the study book, oh no. They're leaving whole chapters of the book of Revelation out of the study book. Now, I don't know if that means that they didn't know what it means, so they just didn't put it in the study book or what, but that got kind of scary. But we decided to go through with it anyway, and we started in chapter 1. We just finished chapter 22 about 3 weeks ago. And I am so excited about what God has taught me through the study of the book of Revelation that I wanted to share it with you. And that's what we're going to do today. Okay, so what have I learned? Number one, that there's a blessing in reading the book of Revelation. Revelation 1:3 says this, "Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and those who keep what is written in it, for the time is near." I thought, wow, that is great. If you study the book of Revelation, there's a blessing. Wait a minute, what kind of blessing is it? Is it you won't have any more problems? Maybe, does it mean you're going to be happy? Does it mean that you're going to get more money? Well, I hate to tell you this, but through our year's study of Revelation, that hasn't happened very much. Seems like I've had a lot more problems this year than in years past. Okay, so what does it mean? Well, I found three things that I think I've been blessed in studying the book of Revelation. The first one is, there's real joy in studying the book of Revelation. And you might say, how in the world can there be joy in studying the book of Revelation? It's all about tribulation. But there is, there's real joy, and we'll share that as we go along with the lesson today. Also, it's a tremendous opportunity to learn about God and about his character. And I was really excited to know God in a deeper way because I've studied the book of Revelation. And then finally, we get to find out what's going to happen at the end of time. And I give you a clue, God wins. In fact, we found out in the book of Revelation that God always wins, which is good news. So, what do I encourage you to do? I encourage you in the next few weeks to take time and read the book of Revelation. And see what you learn from it. And there might be some things that you don't understand. That's okay. Just keep on reading. And see if it's really true, if there's a blessing for you in the book of Revelation. Okay, what's the second thing I've learned? I've learned that God judges. He judges sin and he judges rebellion. In fact, it's one of my favorite passages is Psalm 72. I want to go over it with you. So, the psalmist, I don't think he's David, he's another person who wrote this psalm. He starts out this way. "But as for me, my feet almost stumbled, my steps nearly slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant, and I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Basically, what he's saying is, God, I see these wicked people, but you're blessing them. What's going on here?" So he goes on and explains that. "For they have no pangs until death. Their bodies are fat and sleek. They are not in trouble like others are. They are not stricken like the rest of mankind. Therefore, pride is their necklace. Violence covers them as a garment." Wow. These people are rich. They have no cares. They have no worries. He says, "God, why are you blessing those who are evil, those who don't do what's right, those who are not following you?" Then it's worse. In verse 11, they say, "How can God know?" In other words, "Oh, God doesn't know what I'm doing." There's no God, is basically what they're saying. "Is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the wicked, always at ease. They increase in riches." So this man is really, what am I going to do? Why is this? And then look at what he says here, starting in verse 13. "All in vain have I kept my heart clean." In other words, I'm doing what's right, and yet I'm not blessed like these wicked people. What's going on? "And washed my hands in innocence. For all the day long I have been stricken and rebuked every morning." In other words, not only am I feeling like I'm not rich and at ease, but things seem like they're going wrong. What's wrong, God? But notice what he says next in verse 16. "But then I thought, how to understand this? It seems to me a wearisome task, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I discerned their end. Truly, you set them in slippery places. You make them fall to ruin. How they are destroyed in a moment, swept away utterly by terrors, like a dream when one awakes." In other words, like a nightmare. He's saying, "You know what? I went into the house of the Lord, and then I realized it seems like everything's going fine now, but they will be judged." And that's really about what the book of Revelation is about, at least a lot of it. It's about the time when God says enough. People are going to be judged for their wicked deeds. People are going to be judged for their rebellion against God. And so we did. We studied tribulation. And wow, it's basically chapters 6 through 16. But there are three major tribulations. First of all, the seven seals. That's Revelation 6 and 8. Talks about war and famine and death and martyrs and terror. Then we have Revelation 9, 10, and 11, the seven trumpets. Fire burns one-third of the earth, one-third of the sea creatures die. Fresh water becomes bitter. Darkness, one-third of mankind is killed. Lightning, thunder, earthquakes, and a great hailstorm. And then we have Revelation 16, which is the bowl judgments. Every sea creature dies. Rivers and springs become blood. Men are scorched with heat, darkness, lightning, thunder, earthquakes, and hailstorms 100 pounds each. Can you imagine what would happen if we had hail coming down and each of those hailstones was 100 pounds each? Wow. When I visited my uncle in Michigan, and he showed us the wall of his garage. It was aluminum siding, and it had all these pot marks in it from the hail that they got, and their hail was not 100 pounds each. So you can imagine the terror that the people felt. So what is the application? What can I learn from this? First of all, Satan wants to deceive us. He wants to make us believe that sin is no big deal. Sometimes Christians try to, how can I get a little bit closer to sin? How can I get a little bit closer to sin without sinning? But God wants us to have the opposite attitude. How can I get closer to Him? Who are we going to follow? We're going to follow God, or we're going to follow Satan? And that's our choice. If you have Christ, your sins are forgiven by his blood. So as Christians, we don't have to worry about the judgment like the tribulation. But you know what? When we sin, God does discipline us. We know that from the book of James. So we can't just say, well, I'm forgiven. I can sin whenever I want. There is a discipline when we sin. So again, our choice. We're going to follow God. We're going to follow Satan. The choice is ours. And much of what the book of Revelation is a choice between following God or following Satan. So what have I learned? First of all, there's a blessing in reading Revelation. Secondly, God judges sin and rebellion. And thirdly, God is patient. And you say, wait a minute, you're talking about the tribulation. How can you say God is patient when you're seeing all these bad things happening on the earth? Well, 2 Peter 3:9 says this. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. In other words, God wants all to come to repentance. And the neat thing about it, in the book of Revelation, even with all this tribulation, we notice that God was begging people, basically, to come to him, to repent and to follow him, even during the tribulation. First of all, we saw the 144,000 that God selected from the Jews to go out and preach the gospel. And then God sent two witnesses for 3.5 years to preach the gospel, to beg people to come to know Jesus, to come to God, to follow God. In Revelation 11:3, it says, I will grant authority to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. So what power did God give these two witnesses? Wow, it's just like Elijah. It says, they have power to shut the sky, that no rain may fall during the days of their prophesying, and they have power over the waters to turn them into blood and to strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they desire. And when they have finished their testimony, the beast that raises from the bottomless pit will make war with them, or make war on them and conquer them and kill them. And that's Revelation 11:6-7. So how will the people react to the death of these two witnesses? And I thought this was really, really, really strange. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice. They'll rejoice over the death of these two witnesses. Will rejoice over them and make merry and exchange presents, because the two prophets had been a torment to those who dwell on the earth. So what does that mean? It's Christmas. They're exchanging presents, just as if it was Christmas. Can't believe it. God's servants dying, and they're celebrating by exchanging gifts. But what does God do? God always gets the last word. But after the 3.5 days, a breath of life from God entered them, and they stood up on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them. Then they heard a loud voice coming from heaven saying to them, come up here. And they went up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies watched them. So God raised them from the dead and raised them up into heaven. Wow. And then the third thing is that God sent an angel. And this is Revelation 14. He sent an angel to proclaim the gospel. It says in Revelation 14:6-7, then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made the heavens and the earth, the sea and the springs of water. So again, God sent an angel this time to preach the gospel to those who were rejecting and rebelling against God. So what's our application? Well, the gospel is important. How can we as individuals share the gospel to those around us? Maybe we need to ask God to give us insight into how to do that. Also, maybe how can we as a church better spread the gospel to those in the community, in our country, and in the world? That's something to pray about, something to ask God about. Okay, so we've learned that there is a blessing from reading Revelation. We've learned that God judges sin and rebellion. We've learned that God is patient. And now we're going to learn that many will reject him. Jesus gave a parable about a ruler, and this is how many people feel about God. It says, "But the citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, 'We do not want this man to rule over us.'" And there are many people in the world today who do not want God to rule over them. So they reject God. And the problem is, when they reject God, they start believing in a lie. So, how did the people, God was so patient with them. Yes, God brought a lot of tribulation, but he also brought a message of hope to them. But how did they respond? Well, we can see that in Revelation 6. And this really stood out to me as we were reading this and studying it. "The kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone slave and free hid themselves in caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb.'" And I thought, wow, what are they doing? They're not praying to God. They're praying to the rocks and to the mountains. Wow. Can't believe it. All God wanted them to do is to turn to him. But instead, they rebelled against God and started praying to rocks and mountains. Okay, how about another time? It says Revelation 9, 20 and 21. "The rest of mankind who were not killed by the plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, nor give up worshiping demons and idols of gold and silver and bronze and stone and wood, which cannot see or hear or walk, nor did they repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts." Wow. They refused to repent. They continued to do what they knew was wrong. How about Revelation 16:9? "They were scorched by fierce heat. They cursed the name of God who had power over these plagues. They did not repent or give him glory." How about Revelation 16:21? And great hailstones, about 100 pounds each, fell from heaven on people. And what did they do? They cursed God for the plague of the hail, because the plague was so severe. That's Revelation 16:21. So what did we learn from this? Many in the world have rejected God. Because of this, they have rejected the truth and believe a lie. We need to stay in God's word and protect ourselves from the lies of this world. And boy, I don't know if you've noticed, but so many lies that are coming around that people are accepting as true because they've rejected God. And we need to protect ourselves from those lies. And I really appreciate this church because we are firmly founded on God's word and refuse to listen to the lies of the world. Okay, so what have we learned? We've learned there's a blessing in reading the book of Revelation. We've learned that God judges sin and rebellion. We've learned that God is patient, but many will reject him. And now, don't be afraid to say, "I don't know." Revelation 1:19 says, "Write therefore the things that you have seen, those that are and those that are to take place after this." Basically, what happened was the Apostle John was given a vision. And as he was seeing this vision, God told him, write it down that you may share it with others. And so he did. And a lot of times we read the book of Revelation and we say, what in the world does this mean? What in the world is it saying? And time again in our class, we had to remind ourselves, what are we reading? We're reading the account of what John saw in his vision. So he's just seeing a vision, and he's writing down what he saw. I wonder how much of this vision John actually understood. I think he understood some, but I think a lot of it was very puzzling to him. A lot of times people say, well, I think the rapture is before tribulation. Some people say, I think the rapture is 3.5 years after tribulation starts. And some people say, oh, I believe the rapture is at the end of tribulation. And you know what? I've come to the point where I say, I've read the book of Revelation, and I don't know. It doesn't say, really. And some people say, well, and they try to make a logical argument as to why it should be this way or that way. And yet, if it doesn't say in God's word, we need to be careful about what we believe and what we accept as being true. A lot of time, I used to love watching the end time movies, you know, when people are raptured and all the cars start going off the road because the driver's gone and the airplanes fall out of the sky. And I always thought that was neat. But it's funny how we start basing our theology on these movies. They make an hour and a half movie out of 5 verses, and we base our theology on the movie. It was even brought up during class one time that the people are raised from the earth and meet Jesus in the air, and their clothes are left behind. Bible doesn't say their clothes are left behind, and yet because we've seen this in the movie, we kind of assume that that's true. We have to be very careful of basing our theology in what we've seen in movies or what we think might have happened, but does it really say in God's word that that's what happened? So don't be afraid to say, I don't know. Some of these things in Revelation just, they're hard to understand, and maybe you don't understand it now, but later on when you study it, maybe you'll understand it then. So often you just have to say, you know what? I don't know. Maybe I'll understand later. Okay, so what's the application? When you read the book of Revelation, ask yourself, what does it say? Is there anything that you believe about the end times that is not contained in the Bible? Okay, last one. What have I learned? I've learned that reading the book of Revelation is a blessing. I've learned that God judges sin and rebellion, that God is patient, that many will reject him, and that I don't have to be afraid to say, I don't know. And the last one is from a verse in Revelation 22. Lord, come quickly. In fact, it's Revelation 22, 20 and 21, which says, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with us all. Amen. Why don't we all say amen? Okay, and that's really what I brought out of Revelation. The world is getting so messed up, and I'm thinking, Lord, just come quickly. Amen. The application, when things get difficult, keep your eyes on God. Keep your eyes on what God has for you in heaven. What does it say in Revelation 21, 1 through 4? No more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. These things have passed away. I think when Paul, as I was reading, especially Philippians, Paul went through tremendous trials, shipwrecks, and a lot of time in jail because they didn't like what he said. But as we see the Apostle Paul, it seems like he's always looking to God, always looking to heaven, saying, I have a better life coming up. I don't have to worry about what's going on here on earth. And so, Colossians 3, 1 through 4. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Isn't that a tremendous promise? And finally, don't give up. God has given you his Holy Spirit. That's another thing we've been talking about in our class. God has given us his Holy Spirit to guide us and to give us strength. One of my favorite verses, here is a call for the endurance of the saints, those who keep commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. What a goal to have. Let's have endurance when we go through difficult times. Let's not give up. Let's keep our eyes on God. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's purpose to keep God's commandments and to be faithful to him, even during the difficult times. So that's what I've learned in the book of Revelation. And I encourage you again to take time to read the book of Revelation and ask God, what does it have for me? What can I learn from your book? Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you again for this time. We thank you for what you've done in our lives, what you continue to do. We thank you that you are in control, that even though things get pretty scary and pretty crazy around here on this earth, that you are still in control. Father, help us to keep our eyes and our hearts and our minds on you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.